CII Radio, the pulse of the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. This evening, you have reached our voicemail, in fact, because we are at a cross-border, something exciting launch, and we'll share the details with you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil, how are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam. It's rather different, this episode. Like, it takes a little getting used to, like, knowing that we aren't live, and this is actually being recorded on, what is today, Tuesday the 14th, right?
You're giving all our secrets away now.
Yeah, but you know, it just feels different. It's not the same.
So, no, it isn't.
But for good reason, like you say, we are going to be, inshallah, attending a cross-border launch. It's my first cross-border launch.
Mine as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, first cross-border launch, something I'm quite excited about, especially because of the vehicle, but I know you don't want to give up too much information regarding it. We will be live, inshallah, next week talking about the launch and the vehicle. But yeah, for now, how crazy has the weather been?
Yeah, so Monday night we had a crazy hailstorm. Were you affected here in Pretoria?
So we weren't affected, Shukr, we weren't. But I know a lot of friends of mine in Midrand, in fact, close to you, had like devastating effects. Like, vehicles are completely smashed. It doesn't look like hail. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah, it looked, I mean, I knew a few people that got their windscreen damaged, and it looked like someone had seriously shot at it, like a few times. It was that bad.
And, you know, a windscreen is actually something that it's designed to take a lot of, you know, like
weight.
Weight, whatever it is. So for it to like be cracked in that way, it was really, really forceful.
Yeah, no, but if you saw the size of it, it was bigger than golf balls.
Really?
It was, let's call it a padel ball.
Okay, but the thing is, it's actually a very, very scary situation to be in.
Like, yes.
You're driving, and, you know, hail is something that doesn't ever, like, start slowly, and, you know, it's just like it's all of a sudden out the blue. And what should you do in a situation that you're driving and next thing it's bucketing? Firstly, hail makes a really loud noise. And I want you to try something, right? Just take your hand and double tap on the roof while you're sitting in the car. Just stick your hand out and listen to how loud it is. And now it's like a really, really freaky situation where you're trying to contain yourself, drive, get to wherever you are safely or wherever you need to be. And next thing, it's just like hail all over. And
yeah, well, you think it's the end of the world. It's that bad. It's like you said, the sound is just like you can't concentrate while you're driving.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't really be driving. You should try and make it to the nearest undercover parking. If it's a mall, if you can get to a service station or, you know, somewhere where you're safe, if you can get under a bridge or something, but somewhere where, you're not under a tree where if there's lightning, because usually there is like an electrical storm with it. So if there's lightning and it hits the tree, you're in trouble. So somewhere where structurally you're okay and your vehicle as well.
Sure. So I think we can maybe pinpoint it down to a few like steps. So the first thing, even if it's rain, if it's hail, whatever it is, the first thing is visibility always, right? So ensure that your lights are on. If you put on your hazards, you're obviously notifying other road users that there's a special situation that you're going through. So firstly, always visibility. Secondly, decrease your speed, increase following distance. The time it takes to stop a vehicle normally compared to the wet, compared to an icy situation is worlds apart. We've learned this, right?
Yeah.
And then, like you say, pull over as fast as you can, but as safely as possible. So you'll notice a lot of people always go for overhead bridges. They always try and duck under there. But what it does is it causes like this bottleneck. And if you're on an open road or a highway, you're not expecting people to now be jutting off on the side of the road.
Yes.
It could literally cause like a massive pileup. So like you said, garage, you know, something like a solid structure, not trees, you know, look for buildings also that don't have like massive signs on it. All these things are just fixtures. So, I mean, it could easily just fall on your car, which is also unsafe. And then if you are caught in this, remain in your vehicle. Don't try and run across or anything. Remain in your vehicle. Use your windscreen as, call it a shield. So move your body away from the windows, your side, your passenger windows. Those are going to go first, right? If you have a jacket, if you have a blanket, if you have something in the vehicle, try and shield your body from, you know, the shards of glass and stuff. But, yeah, that's it. And generally they don't last for a very long time. So you just wait it out, let everything settle before you get back. And yeah, vehicle damage is unfortunate in this situation. We've seen it, I think it was like 2 weeks ago as well. So one of my friends in the Northwest province as well, it was just horrific. The vehicle looks like it's been in an accident.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But with the hail, sometimes, like we said, is an electrical storm, but also flash floods, which also pose a threat. So try and get to higher ground somewhere where, you know, like we said, a bridge, but you know, some bridges just wash away. So, structural places, like we said, like a mall or service station where, you know, you're safe for that few minutes, because it only lasts for a few minutes. Probably 15 to 20 minutes max I would think. Yeah. And then it's over. So you just need to keep yourself safe in that time and keep reading your du'as.
That's it. Just be safe on the roads. Don't do anything risky. And then also there's something that you can kind of prepare for. Just look at weather patterns. Watch the weather. And I'm not sure if you've heard any of these companies actually send you, I know, Outsurance and Discovery actually send you a test to be like, there's a high risk of hail. Park your car indoors.
Yeah, they do that. A lot of them now actually send you that message to say there's going to be a hailstorm in the next hour or something, make sure it's parked undercover.
I know sometimes, like, I don't know if it's my network, but I get it like after they also. But just be prepared. I mean, it's something that if you see it's a bit risky and stuff. Hail is also something funny because it can go from like a sunny day to buckets of hail in hours, you know. So make sure when you traveling, you kind of set your destinations, you know where you're going to stop, and familiarize yourself with the roads. I mean, there's a place that could be used somewhere to stop you. Like, I mean, if you are, let's say you've driven out and you get a message to say there's going to be hail, you need to return home. It's kind of, I don't know, like mentally prepare yourself that there's this filling station here. These are my possible, call it escape routes, you know.
But it's funny you say that, you know, it can go from a sunny day to just happening, because last year, in fact, we had a very big hailstorm in Johannesburg. And I don't know if you saw pictures or videos, but like the whole of Woodmead was like basically white. And we had actually gone down to like Randburg side. So we missed the thing completely. We didn't even know there was a hailstorm. And when we're driving back, then we see like this, like white. And I'm like, what's happening here? You know, like, when did this happen? Because we weren't even gone long. We were probably like an hour or so. And when we got home, then we obviously saw the lawn and everything was white. And at the time I was testing a C-Class Mercedes-Benz.
Ouch, that would have been expensive.
No, so I didn't only have that. I had an M440i as well.
Okay.
And both were parked at home. And fortunately, there was no damage. But when I got into the C-Class, it actually came up with an alert to say that there was an accident. So it had registered, like, obviously the beating of these hail.
So probably like it has like impact.
Yeah.
Sensors. Or something.
Yeah. And to say that it was an accident. Do I want to send a message like an SOS? Because the car's been in an accident.
No, it's really a crazy situation. I'm not sure if you've seen like hail damage. It's something that I think, they use this like technique. It's like a paintless dent remover, but your paint always kind of looks wavy. It's like, it's never ever like what it was, you know. We actually had a Bucky at work, a Chev utility, and one day we're driving, and I promise you, it wasn't even 3 minutes that we're caught up, and literally this vehicle looked like a golf ball. You know, and it's pretty crazy because the damage is not something like, especially because it's on the roof, on the bonnet you can, but like a roof, you can't change the panel.
Yeah,
you have to just do whatever you can, you know.
Yeah, they almost like suction it out.
Yeah,
but like with the suction. It's very difficult to get that degree back.
Yeah, it's never ever going to be, because I mean, in actual fact, the metal actually like kind of stretches a little bit when you dent it, like as it goes in. So when it comes out, it still has this like extra play on it.
Yeah, and usually when you like damage it, like in an accident or something, then it's just at one point. Now it's like multiple points, and multiple times, and obviously the severity is different to an accident, or you know, like you just knocking your door, or someone knocking your door, or something.
So I don't know if you know, but Centurion, right, is extremely flood prone.
Yes,
it's like it rains for like half a day, and next thing you know, everywhere is like flooding.
Yeah, they especially and by the hotel.
I promise you, I think it's like a town planning mistake or something.
But there's a lake there.
There is, but like, I mean, it's a man-made thing, you know? So I don't know if it's like drainage in that area or what, but it's crazy to see. And people also just assume like, hey, you know, I bought this Ford Ranger and I'm going to use it now. Don't be wading through, you know, floods, and relax. Just don't do it.
But it's also, you see, it's very difficult to gauge, you know, when there's a flood as opposed to wading through, you know, like a river or something, because you don't know how deep it goes. Generally, when you see a river, you can see, you know, generally how deep it is for you to wade through. But now with potholes and whatever, you don't know where you're going to.
So you don't know how deep it is, and you don't know what's underneath it.
Exactly.
Another thing is, when it's a river that bursts its banks, it's always still trying to like move with the current. So there's always force in it.
Yeah.
And it's something crazy. I don't know how many like mils or whatever of water you need to actually sweep an entire vehicle. Because you have air in your tires, it's obviously buoyant.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like a very small amount. It's not like what you're thinking where you need like a meter or 2 meters.
Yeah. No, you don't have to be underwater to be swept away. But yeah. So this weekend, two things are happening. Yeah. One is on Friday. It's a National Take a Hike Day. And I know that's one of your favorite topics.
Listen, I did one hike. Okay, one. It's the start of many, I hope. But yeah, I'm not like, I did one hike.
Okay.
Like one multi-day hike.
Okay, but you're going to take us through the whole hiking, planning the trip and everything. And then the other thing that's happening this weekend is a solidarity run. So normally like your breakfast run, but it's in solidarity for Palestine.
Yes.
Okay.
So Ziad, when we get back, will you give us the details? Who can get involved? How can people get involved?
Okay.
Okay, cool. Let's go for an air break. When we come back, we'll talk about hiking and the solidarity run.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Tonight, we are talking all about hailstorms, what to do in case of an emergency. If you're stuck in one, we spoke about that now. And then there's two things happening this weekend. One is the solidarity run on the 18th of November. And the day before that is the National Take a Hike Day. So the solidarity run has been hosted by a few companies. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but it's powered by the SA Car community. It's happening on the 18th of November, and it's all in support of what's happening in Palestine. So there's no entrance fee for the breakfast run, but obviously all donations are welcome. So you can come through.
So where is it taking place?
So the start location is at Nasrec. It's at 4 o'clock. They plan to depart by 4:30. So they say 4 o'clock for 4:30, but you know how these things, okay. What time they actually. And then the end location is the Shell Ultra, the M2 East in Denver.
Okay.
So not a long run, but basically just come out there in your support. They say, fly your flags high and attend with a message of change. Please keep all signage free of hate, profanity, and violence. We must remember what and who we are doing this for. This is not a protest. This is a call to action, and we encourage you to contribute to the people on the ground in Gaza making the real difference. All proceeds to go to the gift of the givers.
Okay.
So
it's a really good initiative, and it's nice because it's car related. So
yeah.
It's just unfortunate both of us won't be here
yeah. So it's Saturday afternoon. If anybody is in the Johannesburg area and can make it at 4 o'clock, go out, send us some videos, or even tag us. We're on social media. We're B2BCII. And yeah, we'd like to see some of the support from everyone, well, the SA car community.
Definitely. So, Azad, the other thing you touched on was National Take a Hike Day.
Take a Hike Day.
Okay. So, let me just tell you, right, I'm very new into this, but it's, like, addictive. Okay, I don't know what it is. Okay, so I'm like a very outdoors person. Like, I just love being in nature. And then obviously now you've got this situation where you can, like, you know, you see really pretty places, pretty waterfalls. It's really, you know, stunning. And we're very blessed in a sense where South Africa has some of the best hiking trails. And there's obviously, like, I mean, everyone who's into hiking or who's like watched it or like, you know, follow it to some degree, has this, call it a bucket list of hikes, right? And obviously, you know, your Otter Trail will be there, your Whale Trail, you know, Valkberg in Limpopo, Tugela, those are all the big ones. But what people don't understand, it's actually a really easy, fun, and affordable way to just get active. So within, call it Johannesburg, there's so many little trails like all around us. From, you know, your Hennops, those are like well known. Then there's like Hollybrook. There's just so many. And if you look at like the equipment you need compared to like any other sport, I always say like hiking is probably the cheapest way to spend the day out, because you're looking at like, call it like investments in terms of a decent pair of shoes, in terms of that's basically it that you require for a day hike. Obviously it does get, I won't say pricey, but the price increases when you're looking at multi-day hikes a little bit. There's a set, call it, list of equipment and stuff that you'd require. And the thing is also, you can decide where you want to be. So you get like a tent that could cost you like literally 10,000 rand, and you get one that costs you 1,000 rand. So it's all about like what you're comfortable in. And the one thing I can tell you is the outdoor equipment industry is like one of the biggest scams ever. A lot of times it's not the most expensive that's the best, you know. And again, we're lucky that we have like some really good, even like local brands or like very local orientated brands. So one of probably, I'd say, the most well-known or most recognizable brands in hiking is a brand called Hi-Tech. You've obviously heard of it, right? And they make like amazing gear. Their boots are amazing. It's really, call it affordable. So if you're looking at like, call it starting up and trying this out and, you know, like, just seeing where you're at, maybe, you know, like take one of the shorter trails. The one thing that a lot of new hikers find difficult is your timing. So don't hike midday. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. It's one of those things that you do like very early in the morning or afternoon, because just the sun is like in a more comfortable position. Everything looks better as well. So, yeah.
Talking about shoes, is there a specific shoe for everybody, or does each individual need a?
So that's actually a very good question, because I think we look at, you know, like people, and a lot of this stems down to like the influencer culture that we observe so much, especially on social media, where people come out and be like, "This is the best hiking shoe." This is, I can tell you brands that are really good. But I can't, like, no one can tell you this is the best shoe, because it's how you feel. A lot of people told me that multi-day hikes, you need like a high top or a boot style. And for me, it didn't work. I literally use what they call a trail running shoe, and I'm comfortable in it. So for me, that's what works for me. I prefer it. So there's no clear cut answer to what's the best, or, you know, there's obviously certain brands that are really good.
But in terms of your like body structure, wouldn't it, like obviously a heavier shoe might not be a good thing to go with. So
there's so many different factors, right? It's the weight of the shoe, the way like your foot feels in the shoe. Then there's the thing of waterproof, not waterproof, high top, low top. You know, the type of upper you have, the type of grip. It's a never ending thing. What I would suggest is anyone, try on the shoe. Walk around with it, and if it feels comfortable, if it suits your budget, go for it. And you don't need the best of everything to start. It doesn't work that way. And I think a lot of times with me personally, I've always done this, where I said, you know what, I need this to start doing that. And it doesn't work that way.
But will the sports shops, I know Hi-Tech just recently opened a store. Yes. I think it was Jackal Creek.
Jackal Creek Corner, yes.
So that's in like Randburg side,
yes,
in Johannesburg. But the other sports stores, or you know, around the country, would they be able to assist you in getting the right shoe?
So obviously for you personally, if you're going to go and buy a shoe, right? Let's use Hi-Tech as an example, because I've seen this work. The salesmen are really, really knowledgeable. So you tell them, listen, I'm looking at doing X amount of kilometers or so many days. And he'll tell you, listen, don't even look at this one. But he knows why he's telling you that. So for that reason, generally sports stores have quite knowledgeable staff. But also they work on commission. So, you know, it's really a thing of like, do I need this? Don't I need it? Type of thing. And there's a lot of things that you'll find for yourself, that when you go out and do a hike, right, you realize, listen, I don't need this, or listen, I really need this. So for us, when we did together like a month ago or last month rather, some of the most vital things that I thought I didn't need and that I like said I'd never go without, for one is a trekking pole. I always thought it would like slow you down.
Mm.
It gives you so much of support, it's unbelievable, right?
That's tough. It's like, yeah, a staff.
Exactly. Second, it's something very cheap and people overlook it, is a buff. So a buff is crazy, because if you're feeling cold, you can literally like put it over your face and you'll feel warm.
Right.
If you're feeling hot, you can wet it and put it over your head or your neck or whatever it is. So it's like a very multi-purpose, call it, piece of equipment, and it's also very cheap. Oh, and then if you are doing a multi-day hike, like something like Tugela, like something mountainous, it's always good to have gloves. Sometimes your entire, like, you know, you're wearing a jacket, you have a good jacket, whatever it is, but your hands are still exposed, you still feel cold.
The trekking pole, I like that, because there's a lot of places that you go and it says beware of snakes.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, I'm glad I've never had to use it like that. But on that specific hike, we actually saw a snake, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very late at night, but it was also dead.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it wasn't because of anyone's trekking poles. But, like, obviously, when you're out in nature, you need to, you know.
Okay, so talking about those things, now this is a car show. Like, so we need to plan the trip and what we're going to pack in our car. And there's obviously two different types of packing. There's one which we both know as packing as a family,
okay,
and there's one if you're going with friends, or
sure,
you know, just with your spouse or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So take us through, which one do you want to take us through, the packing with the family, or okay, take us through both then.
Okay, so firstly, if we need to talk about packing with a family, we're restricted by the vehicle, right?
Okay.
So both hikes, or the two last hikes that I did, the first one was done with the V300, and the second last one was done with the X70. And both
the
of
Proton.
Those, the Proton,
okay,
right? Both of those vehicles had ample space. So the V class, obviously, we were full, like in terms of the amount of passengers, but it had the roof box, which was pretty cool. The Proton just, I mean, it fitted. Everything fitted perfectly. Backpacks, your shoes. And I mean, that's what kind of makes a good adventure vehicle. You know, you need to tow something, or you need to load it up, or like sometimes it might not be hiking. It might be mountain biking, for example. So you'd need your, your, your rack for your bikes, and then no place to store your helmets and your food for the day and stuff like that. But in terms of your question, the two ways to pack. Look, if you're packing with your family, you know, you take stuff for in case it's hot, in case it's cold, in case it's like a normal day. Like, there's just all these things you need to factor in. Naturally, the snacks and foods just become more. Like, my go-to for hiking, like, snacks-wise is Biltong. Like, I just, it's easy to carry. It's easy to eat, you know, and it's good. It tastes good.
It's nutritious.
It's nutritious, right? Obviously, you know, your trail mixes, your nuts and those kind of fruits and stuff.
Do you like dried fruit?
So, I do. Okay. But, like I don't have a problem with it, but I also don't go out and, like, buy. Like, I'll buy a trail mix or something. Like, for me, peanuts and raisins is like, the thing.
Okay.
It has to be with raisins.
Yeah. But, oh, okay.
Yeah. Normal peanut, it's like eating concrete, man. You can't...
What about corn nibs?
Oh, yeah, okay, those are nice.
Or flavored. Like a barbecue or something.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay, those are cool. And then, obviously, you need to take, like, some precautions. So, things like a first aid kit, you need, like, a decent first aid kit.
But that should always be in the car.
So, that should always be in the car. But I think a hiking one is a little bit more intensive because, like, I mean, because you're, like, generally making a fire, there's risk there. There's sometimes like pools of water, there's risk there. So and then obviously insects and sun. The sun is like crazy. And something that people overlook on like multi-day hikes is, you know, this, like rehydrate or,
right.
What is it called?
Yeah, rehydrate.
Rehydrate, right? Those sessions.
Yeah.
It's really, really good for you. So the sun firstly depletes all of your nutrients and, you know, you just like end up sweating it out. And then obviously you're doing something physical. A lot of times these hikes have like good, you know, elevation and stuff like that. So you need to like keep on just refueling your body.
So water bottles, obviously, is there.
Definitely. So water bottles are actually very important because it's something that you just say, okay, let me just get the cheapest one. But it's nice to have like cold water. So, you know, you get these water bottles that have both ends, basically, where you can either keep something warm for like, say, 12 hours or something chilled for 12 hours.
Like a thermal type
Like you know, those double wall
stories.
So like, those are also like, I'm talking like a multi-day hike, right? If you are looking to get into like multi-day, you slowly build up your like equipment list. A good multi-tool is always good. There's some really nice places you can get it as well. So even for example, there's a website called Rediscover, Blades and Triggers. These guys keep all the like really nice like multi-tools, survival kits, first aid kits. It's really like good stuff.
Okay. So in terms of packing for the family, is there anything extra that we need?
So because you have kids, you just want to be, you know, like tick all the boxes. You don't want to have a situation where someone needs something and you don't have it. It is easier to pack for, you know, like without having kids. But yeah, it's nice to get them into it as well. You know, like from a young age, they really start appreciating nature, you know, getting away from the screen time, stuff like that.
So you take extra camping chairs and...
No, they're small. They can sit on the floor. I'm not getting another camping chair.
Okay, so let's break for an ad break. And when we return, we're going to talk all about the Proton X70 and maybe the Proton saga as well.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Tonight we spoke all about hailstorms, what to do in case of an emergency. We spoke about the Solidarity Run, which is taking place on the 18th of November from Nasrec at 4 p.m. And we spoke about National Take a Hike Day, which is happening on 17th of November, and how to plan and prepare for that with or without kids. Now it's the final part of the show, and we're going to be talking about the Proton being back in South Africa and the few vehicles that we have tested so far, which is the Proton X70. We did speak about the X50 before and the Proton Saga as well. Mm-hmm. So, Jamil, out of those three, which was your favorite?
So for me, I don't know. I think it's like an age-based thing. The X50 does everything for me. I really like that car. I like the drive. It looks nice. Don't you think it looks like quite a sporty?
It does. Like, especially the one that we had with that blue and then the red detail. No, also the red detail on the grill.
Oh, yes.
And the red interior, yeah.
It has like a really nice sunroof. It's just like a sporty. Yes. I know it has like a four-pipe diffuser in the back. Yes. It's a nice-looking car. It's a good all-rounder, if I can put it that way.
And in terms of performance as well.
Yeah. No, it drives really nice.
Yeah.
It's quite nippy. It's also, it feels solid on the road, man. Like, you know, it's one of those vehicles. I find a lot of the new vehicles, right, let's say budget brands, they don't feel really like well put together on the road, like when you drive.
Yes, yeah.
And this vehicle, like I told you, I did like quite a long road test with it. It was just amazing. It took like everything.
Yeah, my only, not gripe, but concern was the fuel consumption. But other than that, I really enjoyed it.
I remember you said you were struggling with fuel consumption, right?
Yeah.
But I think maybe what you should do is try and get another one after it's been maybe for a service. That might help. Because I know yours was, at the time when you tested, it was quite close to it needing a service. Right?
Yeah, it was at 45,000 kilometers.
So I think maybe that would be something to re-look at.
Yeah.
Because apart from that, I thought it was a really comfortable vehicle. I love the way it looks. It's just like a sporty yet practical vehicle.
No, it was. I really enjoyed everything else.
Would you say that's Proton's bestseller?
At the moment, I think it is. They have about 1,200 vehicles on the road at the moment. So since they came back last year, I think it was July. And I think the X50's done the best. Although I've actually seen more Sagas on the road.
Okay.
I don't know if that's like of late, mm-hmm. But I'm assuming because they launched the X70 and the X50 first last year in July. So I would assume that would be more of their best seller.
For me, I understand what the Saga is, right? But I feel it doesn't fit into Proton's lineup. Like in terms of the image they're kind of trying to portray with the SUVs. And then it's like the Saga.
Yeah, but they obviously want to bring in more vehicles, and they want to, you know, expand their, call it fleet. So they're obviously testing the market, and they brought in the Saga as well. I mean, when they were here previously, we had the Gen 2, which was a hatch sedan type. We had the Savvy also, which was similar to the Saga.
In fact, just now that you mentioned Savvy, Proton always had like very sporty designs. Like if you look at both the ones that you just mentioned,
yeah,
they had like pretty sporty looking design.
Yeah, so they, I think that's what they're going for. And their whole motto is affordable luxury. And I mean, that's why CMH brought them to South Africa, was to give South Africans affordable luxury, which you can see with the cars that they have.
So what I really like, and just understand what I'm saying, tell me if you agree with me, right? The X70 is actually the perfect upgrade from an X50 because I'm not going to say the same vehicle, but it has some of the same character traits, but it's literally a mature version of an X50. So even like if you look at the interior, right, the way it's designed, the colors, it's literally just a mature version of the X50. So you may be in your 30s or 40s, you drive an X50, looking at late 40s to 50s, X70, it's like the perfect like road they're paving,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah. And then you get the X90.
So I haven't driven that yet. I'm due for that this week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
But that's also like very exciting because it's the first, mild hybrid 7-seater, right?
Yes. It's actually a 6-seater, but they say you can fit 7 adults in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's 2 seats in the rear and then 2 captain seats in the middle and then 2 in the front. So it's 6 seats.
Right.
But yeah, you can fit, like, comfortably fit people in there. There's quite a lot of room, leg room.
So going back to the saga, right? You know, there's a very specific buyer that I've identified after driving that vehicle. You know, like, Uber is like a massive thing in South Africa. I can't remember how many thousand registered vehicles there are in South Africa, or drivers. And I just think that vehicle would be a very good Uber car. And why I say that is the cost of ownership is not very high, right? You can tell it's a very, very simple design build. The rear doors are massive. Like, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It has a decent sized boot. I would assume it's cheap on maintenance, and I know that it's very light on fuel. So with these five factors, it literally becomes the most perfect, or one of the best, Uber cars. Because if you're looking at venturing down the road of being an Uber driver, your vehicle is your entire business. You need to be able to rely on it. You need, like, that's what's going to make you money or not, you know? So I think that from that angle, if people start looking at it from that way, I think it will, like, dominate that Uber driver market. It's low theft risk. So, I mean, automatically, I mean, everyone would just jump for a Polo if you're looking at, call it a reliable, affordable, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, this is perfect.
But I think the Polos have actually increased in price since the new generation has come out.
Yes.
So I think we should actually do a show on e-hailing services, like comparison between the models, even if we haven't driven them, but just what's out there, what's in the market, because it's good that you brought it up, you know, in terms of price wise, in terms of functionality. I mean, they've got even, I think, USB ports at the back. Okay. So for the rear passenger. So it's purposefully built that way, that you could use it for e-hailing services like Uber or Bolt or.
I drove it and I just thought to myself, okay, listen, this is intended for a specific purpose and it's been crafted around that. And I think it works.
Yeah. No, definitely. And then, the X70, you said you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And
I found it, like, very spacious.
Yeah.
The drive again, the drive trains, the suspension setups on all these vehicles were really good. It's a comfortable drive. It's a nice drive. It's a lot softer than the X50. X50 has a sportier feel to it, but it was its intended purpose, you know?
Somebody actually commented and said that, why a 1.5 liter, on that? And they said it looks very outdated. And, I think in terms of looks, like you said, it's more mature buyer, firstly. And then secondly, in terms of the engine, you don't actually feel that they're using the same engine that's in the X50. It's actually throughout the range, X50, X70, and X90, they use the same engine across. And it's got so much power that you don't feel like you're losing power. Obviously, the X50 is like a rocket, because it's much smaller than the other two. But what was your thoughts about them using the same engine across?
To be honest, like you say, I didn't mind it at all. It may be the same engine, but I think it's in different states of tune. And it just works for that derivative of the model range. Like you say, the X50 is like, it has a sportier feel. I found the sport, call it mode, like a little jumpy, but it's fine. You get used to it. On the X70, I just felt it worked. I mean, it cruises nicely on the highway. You can overtake comfortably. And, you know, we keep reminding ourselves, because maybe you're used to it, like, you know, like it's a 1.5. But 1.5s are like the new 2 liters. If you look at Mercs, BMs, like most Chinese manufacturers, Moda, Beijing, all of them are using 1.5 turbos.
Yeah. No, definitely. So I don't think it was underpowered at all. There's a few things that I quite liked. One of them was, I don't know if you noticed when you locked the car in the X70, the window slightly opened. Now, I know here in South Africa, you can't generally when you go to a mall or something, when you're out in public, you can't. But I mean, if you're parked at home and that happens, it's they've designed it obviously for the conditions in Malaysia or wherever they're selling the vehicles, so that it's hotter regions and there's that airflow, you know, once you leave your car standing. And so that was quite a nice thing that they've added to it.
So funny, when it happened at first, I was like, okay, like, why isn't this thing closing? And I actually found it's a setting, so you can easily turn it on and off. But like you're saying, when you can, and if you, like, you know, you have the, call it, luxury of safety, it's a really nice thing. If I'm not mistaken, I think that vehicle also has an automatic tailgate, right?
Yes, it does. I think so. Yeah.
That's, I love that feature, and not because of anything. It's just so practical. You walk up with your packets or your shopping, and it just opens. You know, it's really nice.
But the even from the Proton X50, you can, you know, like, use the key to open the windows, close the windows, the sunroof, start the engine. Those are like
so
premium.
X70 doesn't do
the premium. Yeah, the X70 didn't do that, but I think the X90 does it as well. Okay. But those are like that you see in premium cars at over R1 million. Those are features that you see in those cars. And I mean, these cars are coming in at like the 500,000 rand mark.
Yes.
I think the most expensive is the X90. Top of the range, their flagship is like 680 or 690.
So still under that 700,000 rand mark, which honestly, in terms of, let's call it, more established premium brands, you're not getting anything for that much.
Yeah. And it's very responsive. I mean, the voice control, you just, I don't know if you tried it out, Hey Proton, and then it says, what's up? And, in terms of, they'll tell you, you know, check the rear seats, or your phone is in the wireless tray, you know, take it out.
Yes.
I don't know if you tried the autonomous driving, the what you call this? The adaptive cruise control. But I actually tested it out, right? In a controlled environment where I put the lane assist on, I put the adaptive cruise control, and I let go of the steering wheel. The car drives perfectly.
Okay.
In a straight line, there's no problem. It's just that it actually gives you a warning to say, hold the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's those type of things that are premium.
Yeah, you know what, in terms of that, it actually brought me to a thought. I think it was the C3 Aircross. And we were driving on the highway, and literally every time, like, I just, like, you know, like, moved something from my face or did something, like, would scream at you, like, keep both hands on the steering.
Yeah.
I don't know if you experienced it. Did you drive the Aircross?
I can't remember the Aircross, but there was a vehicle that I can remember. It kept on telling me, you know, like, and, like, like you say, you just, you know, like, move your hand off for a second. It's like, keep both hands on the steering wheel.
I'm almost certain it would have probably been the Aircross, because this thing was like, it wanted you to hold both.
Maybe it was a C5 Aircross.
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, so yeah, look, we've got another Proton that we'll talk about pretty soon.
Yes.
That's, like you say, the flagship, the top of the range, the biggest body style you can get from them. But for this week, it's a wrap from us. Inshallah, everyone is having a really, really good week and a very good week ahead.
Inshallah.
And yeah, I think next week everything goes back to normal. You'll get us live on a Friday night at 7. Inshallah. So from us, both myself and Ziad, assalamu alaikum. Have an amazing and safe week. Assalamu alaikum.
Ya Ghazat al Ahrar. Oh.